The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hello, Rolien.
Good morning, Chad and listeners. Happy New Year and all those wonderful things.
So the last time we spoke, it was New Year's Eve.
It was. And we are into our first week of 2022, and what a week it has been.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe it's day 7 of 2022. But I must be honest, when I see dates in December 2021, it actually seems like a lifetime ago, because things are just happening and moving so fast.
Absolutely.
So, Rolien, let's kick off. John Stewart has backtracked on the J.K. Rowling comments and that whole controversy. So let's start with J.K. Rowling, the comments and the controversy. Then what did John Stewart do and what is he now backtracking on?
Okay, well, I never thought in a million years that this first week of January will be all about goblins, but here we are. So let's put the story into perspective. John Stewart, late night host, a comedian in the United States, speaking on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, made comments that the goblins that ran Gringotts Bank in the Harry Potter movies. Now, bearing in mind that this is over 20 years since the first Harry Potter movie, basically are an anti-Semitic trope. And he basically inferred that J.K. Rowling was anti-Semitic. I listened to his comments very, very carefully. I wasn't too crazy about what he had to say. I think, you know, you have to be very careful in today's world, how you frame things. So he said, and I'm going to quote you directly. He says, "Holy beep, she did not in a wizarding world just throw Jews in there to run the beeping underground bank." J.K. Rowling was like, "Can we get these guys to run our bank? It's a wizarding world. We can ride dragons. You can have a pet owl, but who should run the bank? Jews." So those were his comments, and you can hear in his comments basically an inference that J.K. Rowling was being inherently anti-Semitic. Now, J.K. Rowling is probably one of the most vocal advocates against anti-Semitism. She was one of the very, very few high-profile people when there was the whole controversy with anti-Semitism in the UK Labour Party to vocally take on some of the most vehement anti-Semites and make a stand for or against anti-Semitism. Also, it's important to know that nowhere in the Harry Potter books, which I have read, does she give a description about what these goblins are alleged to have looked like. And she also didn't have control over how the goblins were manifested in the movie of Harry Potter. Yes. It does go back to an ugly anti-Semitic stereotype, you know, hunched over, short people, you're obsessed with money, long noses. That's how Jews have been portrayed since medieval times and still today in some horrendous stratas of society. But J.K. Rowling herself is not anti-Semitic. However, J.K. Rowling is very controversial at the moment because she's very, very vocal about her support of biological gender. In no way is she anti-trans. Some people say she is, but she's also been very vocal about advocating for trans rights. However, she also believes in biological gender. So the pile on to J.K. Rowling is more than a little bit of a coincidence, but very, very vocal in their support of her were British Jews and Jews around the world, saying, you know, this is nothing but trying to find another angle to an already existing witch hunt against this extraordinary woman who really, really has stuck her head above the parapet and has defended Jews against some horrendous anti-Semitism. So, of course, there was the ubiquitous Twitter firestorm are goblins anti-Semitic? Aren't goblins anti-Semitic? I'm of the opinion that if you look at a goblin and immediately think Jew, maybe you have some prejudice to examine. Here we are, and John Stewart walked back his comment saying, I did not say that J.K. Rowling was anti-Semitic, and used a very colourful trope to describe Newsweek, which was the publication that inherently published his comment, saying Newsweek and basically, and I'm not going to finish the rest of the sentence, but we will leave it there.
Very interesting story to start the morning. Let's move on to something a little bit more serious. Netherlands has cut funding to a Palestinian non-governmental organization. Which is this Palestinian organization, and why has funding been cut?
Well, this is an extraordinary story because last year Israel announced that they were designating six Palestinian NGOs as terror organizations. Now, Human Rights Watch, and I mean, of course, we know that Ken Roth, the director of Human Rights Watch, does have a particular fetish and obsession about Israel, as well as countries like Ireland, voiced their criticism against Israel, saying, how can you do this? You are silencing Palestinian civil society. But I want to be very clear. When Israel makes these decisions, and sometimes maybe the evidence is not there, it's usually of a very, very, very delicate intelligence nature. Just as in a military operation, counter-terror operation, you're not going to always make your evidence public because of the delicate nature that it is. However, on further inspection, it has been discovered that the Union of Agricultural Works, which is the NGO that the Netherlands have defunded as of this week, at least 34 of its staff members have been active with the Palestinian Front for the Liberation of Palestine from between 2007 to 2020. Now, the PFLP is recognized as a terror organization by the European Union. So the Dutch foreign trade minister and foreign minister made the decision to cut their funding, which is about $25 million. And it goes even deeper than that. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Rina Schnurb, a young Israeli girl with her brother and her father, were hiking one Friday morning, and she was killed when an IED planted by one of the workers, of the 34 workers, exploded and killed her. So here we have a direct tie to a terror attack. And we also have direct ties that this funding has gone towards paying the salaries that terrorists who have either committed acts of terror or have been killed during acts of terror received from the Palestinian Authority. If you are a terrorist and you are killed committing your act of terror, your family gets a significant monthly stipend. So this is irrefutable proof that there are ties between members or staff members of this particular NGO to terror.
So, Rolene, we've still got three important stories to cover. The statue of the slain Iranian commander Soleimani was torched in Iran just hours after unveiling. Do we think that this may have to do with perhaps a covert intelligence mission?
I actually don't think it has to do with a covert intelligence mission. I think that this is the Iranian people who have been vocal over the last 2 years saying enough is enough. They want a regime change. Many of them have been extraordinarily brave, taking to the streets, saying, you know, we have no food, we have no water, you are obsessed as a regime with destroying another country, with funding terror. Many Iranians have been killed as a result of taking to the streets, protesting. But the Iranian Revolutionary Guards have said that this is a shameful act by unknown individuals. It's a treacherous act. It was carried out in darkness, just like other crimes carried out in darkness. This comes from Muhammad Ali Nekunam. He's from the Iranian Intelligence Organization, saying that. But the reality is Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated, maybe not, by Americans or Israelis, was somebody who was responsible not just for carrying or ensuring terror acts were carried out against Israeli targets, American targets, but also torturing Iranian citizens as well.
Sure, fascinating stuff that it really is. With me, I suppose I always look for a kind of project, but I forget that there are so many people that want to see change that they themselves may be responsible. It may not necessarily be a message being sent by another country that is very, very, very concerned about Iran's nuclear projects. Three senators call for an SEC investigation into Unilever over Ben and Jerry's. Very interesting story, this.
It is a very interesting story because the Ben and Jerry's saga just seems to be getting more and more intense by the day. I mean, we just spoke about the fact that the state of Illinois is the latest state to enact their anti-BDS laws and divest from Unilever, which is the holding company of Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's making that very controversial decision to stop selling ice cream in what they call occupied Palestinian territory, which is East Jerusalem and West Bank. So basically what that means is Palestinians and Israelis can't buy their ice cream, which of course goes a huge way to brokering peace, I must just tell you that. But three Republican senators have urged the SEC, that is the Securities and Exchange Commission, to investigate whether Unilever and its subsidiary Ben & Jerry's have maybe deceived shareholders and violated SEC rules after they made this decision. So the senators come from North Carolina, Louisiana, and South Carolina, which are three states that haven't yet enacted their anti-BDS laws. It must also be noted that the city of Los Angeles will be going to a vote also to divest pension funds from Unilever. So we're talking now that hundreds of millions of dollars have been divested from Unilever. We have yet to hear from Unilever any comments about this. We know their share price is taking a massive dive, but these senators have called for an investigation by the SEC, which is pretty, pretty serious. And they say that Unilever and Ben and Jerry's have violated SEC Rule 10B, Paragraph 5B, which says it is unlawful to make any untrue statement of a material fact or to omit to state a material fact necessary in the light of circumstances under which they were made. Now, basically, that claim means that they haven't been forthcoming to their shareholders why they have taken the decision that they have to engage in a boycott of these territories. We know that, what do you know, Human Rights Watchers, Omar Shakir, he was the sole advisor to the Ben and Jerry's and their board, headed by, what do you know, Anuradha Mittal, a very, very pro-BDS supporter who has funded her charities in some very convoluted ways to boycott these territories.
And with just a minute left, we have this all-important story about the BBC wanting the names of the Jewish victims of the Hanukkah attack.
Well, this is a story that is just going from bad to worse. We've been speaking a lot about the BBC, the way they covered the Hanukkah attack just 2 months ago now, and the allegations that there were anti-Muslim slurs by Jewish teens that were on the bus that were attacked. Now, two independent forensic investigators and the London Metropolitan Police and the Board of British Deputies have investigated the audio that comes off the bus, and nowhere were anti-Muslim slurs used. Now, the BBC refused to apologize, and last night they demanded that the identities of the victims be given to them. Now, lawyers acting for the victims and one of Britain's leading experts, Lord Carlisle, says it is absolutely unacceptable for the BBC to try and force frightened teenagers to reveal their names, particularly as there is film of the incident and it is not part of a civil action and it is a hate crime. All they are doing at this stage is intimidating the youngsters into trying to drop the claim, and victims of racial harassment often seek anonymity to avoid being targeted further. I don't know why the BBC can't just come out and say, we're very sorry, we understand that we misreported, and we apologize. It is now becoming just an absolute bud fight on both sides.
Rolene, thank you so much.